You're listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, your podcast for one-on-one Mets conversations.
What's up, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone, and thanks for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi. Mets home runs go a lot further than you think. For every Mets home run hit at Citi Field this season, Citi will donate $2,000 to No Kid Hungry to help fight childhood hunger. Every dollar donated provides 10 healthy meals for kids. Last season, the Citi Community Home Runs program raised over $170,000, which is a lot of meals. Learn more at Mets.com/Citi. Today, I'm talking with our old friend from Fox Sports, Kevin Burkhart. Thrilled to talk to him. Wanted to get him on the phone for a while. Just kept kind of missing with schedules, but able to connect to him on his ride to the ballpark. Talking to me a little bit today about kind of relative fan bases and covering sports on a national level versus local, you know, following the Mets from afar, all that kind of good stuff. So great conversation. Hope you really enjoy it. Don't forget, also check out this week, check out the Mostly Mets podcast. They do a nice preview of Mets Cubs, you know, going into this series, which the Mets have got to do well. And they've got to get off this losing. This is an important stretch of games. And, you know, starting with the Cubs, they had obviously good success against them last season. So hopefully they can replicate that again this time around, but we'll see. Anyway, check that out. Mostly Mets podcast. You can find it on Mets blog. You can also find it on iTunes if you search the SNY Mets podcast or the SNY.TV audio network. You'll find everything you need there. So check it out. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. And with that, let me run my conversation with good friend Kevin Burkhart. So I guess the first thing is, you know, right out of the gate, we talked about a little bit about this already, but for the purposes of the show, how's Fox treating you? How's life in LA? You know, what's the latest with Kevin Burkhart?
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk to you again, man. I'm doing really well. I'm lucky and fortunate, and this has been, it's been great. You know, it's funny because I talk, even out here, I run into a ton of Met fans, you know, and I ran into three of them at dinner in my town in LA, you know, about a month ago. And, you know, it's funny. I think some people feel like, well, you couldn't have loved the time of the Mets and love what you're doing now. You know, like they both are great. You know, I had a great 8-year run with the Mets and I loved it. And then obviously the opportunity that came up here was just so good as far as advancing my career. And it's been awesome. I mean, it's obviously different in a lot of ways, but the job itself is great. The people that I work with are great. And, you know, honestly, maybe a little surprising is I love it here. I mean, maybe it's just a midlife crisis. I don't know. Maybe, you know, growing up in the same spot, I didn't leave New Jersey and New York for college and you know, maybe just a shock to the system came at the right time, but it's been great. You know, I live by the beach and I've always been a beach guy. So the only difference is now there's the Pacific Ocean instead of the Atlantic. So, you know what? I miss a lot of my friends. I miss like the interaction daily with Mets fans, which I still get some of on Twitter, which is great. But as far as like where I am right now, it's awesome. I'm loving it. It's great. And, you know, I'm getting to do, you know, football and baseball, which I love the most. So it's been a really good ride for the last couple of years. I can't believe, by the way, it still feels like I just left the Mets. I can't believe it's been like 2 years since I've been out of there. It's unbelievable.
I know. It's pretty crazy. By the way, don't say you're lucky. It's not luck. You worked your ass off. You're really good at what you do. Be proud of that. You don't say it's luck, dude. You hustle for it and you do a great job.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, look, I definitely know I worked my ass off for it. I mean, there's no question about that. And I feel good about that because I know where I started and what I had to do to get here. But there is, no matter how, you know, talented you may or may not be, there still is a luck factor involved.
That's,
you know,
true.
I mean,
that's
so
true.
I appreciate you saying that, but I believe it. But it definitely, you have to have a couple of breaks. You have to have somebody at least open the door, Matt, you know, and then it's up to you to go through it.
That's true. That's true. So do you still keep up with the Mets like on a daily basis? I don't want to say a daily basis, but I mean, you check in the standings, you watch where they are. Are you still sort of tapped into the Mets, you know, where they are, what they're doing?
Yeah, I still think I'm pretty tapped in. I mean, I obviously don't talk to people over there all the time like I used to on a daily basis. But, you know, I watch a decent amount of the games, and just for my job alone, let alone the fandom part of it, just for my job alone, I have to know the whole league. You know, we do a show called The Whip Around on FS1, and it's about the whole league. So you really got to know and watch and, you know, talk to people and just kind of be up on what you're talking about. So for that, I keep up with it. But I keep up with it a little more just because of my friends. And, you know, I still follow everybody on Twitter, so I get all the updates. I watch, I don't know, I watch 25% of the games probably. And so, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm as plugged in as I used to be, but I think I'm plugged in enough to what's going on over there.
What's the biggest so what you do is national, like you said. What's the biggest thing you've learned about, I guess, baseball or covering baseball, for that matter, going from one team, specifically New York to L.A., which is pretty different, and watching and covering the game from a national perspective versus, say, you know, every day with the same group?
Well, I think it's just, you know, I was lucky, and you know this from watching SNY, is that our broadcast was somewhat national. I mean, when you watch, you know, I watch a lot more of the other broadcasts now just because I have to, and, you know, I want to get a flavor of what every team is doing, every announce crew is doing. You know, and I used to watch some when I could, but, it, I mean, ours was just so different. You know, I mean, there's a lot of them that are very different and very obviously home team centric. And for me, it was actually fortunate that we always did a lot of other team stuff, a lot of around the league stuff. So I think the biggest thing is just, you know, is the story, the magnitude level of the story, Matt. You know, some of the little minutiae, the everyday daily minutiae, or some of the things that I used to do for stories that were important on a Mets level, you know, people across the country don't care about. I think the other thing is, you know, and, you know, being the national side of this, this applies to football or baseball or whatever, but especially baseball. You know, like when the national crew comes in and does a game of the week, you know, it's never your local guys who you're with every night, and, you know, they're kind of your buddies, right? But at the same time, it's different in the fact that you're kind of introducing things to the people that aren't the diehards. It's a challenging line to walk because, you know, you're trying to do a broadcast certainly for the diehards that are watching when you're doing a national game, and there's going to be plenty of those. But then there's, you know, or there's people who are watching who are not fans of the team. So it's balancing the big storylines with the minutiae that, you know, satisfies the rabid fan, and then the generalizations where, you know, if, you know, Joe and Mary are watching a game in the living room and they just like baseball, but they're not super into it, you know, you could give them something attached to the game and attached to certain. That is the balance that I find when you're doing national stuff.
Similarly, you know, I get tunnel vision in the sense that, you know, as a Mets fan and writing from a Mets fan perspective, you know, it's, I get completely obsessed with that minutia. I don't want to, but I can't help it. And I know that's also what the audience wants as well. You know, Mets fan, and you know how this goes. Mets fans think the manager stinks, the owner stinks, the players aren't good enough. You know, everybody's doom and gloom. But how do you've interacted with other fans, I assume, on Twitter now and with other fan bases doing what you do. I mean, how do we compare? And this is a little psychology for me. How do we compare to other fans around the league? Are we as crazy as I think?
Well, I think that...
Or passionate. I don't know. Call what you want.
I think that a lot of losing will do that, to you. It's definitely a little different. I mean, I think that other fans are a little bit more hopeful, where the Mets fan is, and look, I grew up one of them, so I get it. You know, if you're so sick of being disappointed. Now this year I'm a little surprised because it seems like even recently, now look, I know they haven't played well, but it seems like even recently there's just been a lot of that. And my gosh, they went to the World Series last year. There's a whole second half. I know they're not playing great. But I think it's a little much to be asking for Terry Collins to get fired. I mean, you know, they've got some issues. So I think the fans, they are a little different across the part of the country. And I, look, the Mets fans are passionate, man. I mean, that's what makes it great. I mean, they're super-duper passionate, and they care. I think you'd rather have that than people that absolutely don't care, than apathy, that's for sure.
So where around the, I mean, I'm guessing Red Sox. So like, who's the next group besides Yankees, Red Sox?
Who's the next group? Like, yeah. In terms of like passion like that?
Yeah, you know, that reminds you of what you experience here, you think.
The Red Sox are a pretty good one. I mean, I would certainly put that high on the list. I think, I'm trying to think around the league for who else. I'm sure there's one or two that I'm absolutely missing when thinking about this. I think the Kansas City fan has really been interesting the last, couple of years in terms of their passion for that team and that town being, just a baseball town. I think that's been pretty cool how they've attached to that team. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of just all-out, passion and spitfire, and it's probably the Red Sox are the closest one. That would be my guess.
Again, I'm talking with Kevin Burkhardt. He hosts the pre- and post-game coverage for Fox Sports throughout the MLB season, also handles play-by-play for the NFL. You can find him on Twitter, where he's at Kevin Burkhardt. You mentioned earlier that you keep in touch. You kind of keep in touch with what goes on in the Mets because, in some cases, they are friends. I mean, you cover these guys daily, day in, day out. You haven't done that in a while. So even though it's been a couple years, what I found interesting about that is, do you sort of root for them as individuals, or are you rooting for them as the Mets? Or are these sort of like guys you knew, friends you want to see do well?
I don't think since I started working for them, I ever can say that I rooted for them as the Mets openly, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no, it makes total sense.
I'm a reporter, and you can't do it. Now, in my heart of hearts, did I hope they win? Of course. I loved it that they made it to the World Series last year. And so I think if along those lines, yeah, I mean, there's certainly, I root for individuals. I mean, I'd be dishonest if I didn't say that I was really, rooting for David Wright last year.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I don't like the other guys on the team. I do. I know 75% of those guys, but a guy like that who I covered for 8 years and was nothing but a pro to me, and I had a good relationship with him. Look, of course. I mean, I think there is a very fine line there. I mean, deep down, my Met fandom still is there. And so, of course, I like to see them do well. But when I'm watching them now, it's just, they'll be individuals that I'm rooting for. And I'm really just kind of watching from a baseball perspective. It's a really interesting line you draw on yourself when you are a broadcaster or a reporter, because you just kind of have to suppress that. And my friends always ask me, how do you do it? It's never really been hard for me. I think I just do it, but deep down, it's still in there, Matt. Still in there.
No, I get it. I ask you because, I don't consider myself a reporter. I'm not. There's times where I know things that others don't. I might report it, whatever, but I don't, I still don't think of myself in that way, but it's interesting to compartmentalize it. Like, I'm the same thing. I've known David for a decade. It's a personal relationship. So, like, it's the same thing. I would root for him no matter where he was, but it's a strange thing. But then at the same time, I want the Mets to win. So it's just a strange, interesting way to sort of divide it. I'm just curious from your perspective, having been removed from it, how that changes. It sounds like it just sort of crystallizes. It probably makes it a little bit easier and easier to rationalize too. I think when you're in it every day, especially for myself as a Mets fan, it's even stranger.
I would agree. I would agree with that. Like last year with the World Series, it was so awesome to be there. And I was so happy for a lot of those guys, for Terry, for a lot of people in the organization behind the scenes. So I think it's great.
Yep.
But in the grand scheme of things, all we wanted to see was a game seven, we wanted to see a game seven, and then, of course, crossing my fingers behind my back, of course, I would love to see the Mets win. I mean, how cool would that be
for me
to, as a kid, be there? I watched '86, obviously, to be there, that would have been awesome. So there just is kind of like this line that you walk, at least that I do.
Well, I hope you get your game seven at Citi Field this year. Let's do that.
Hey, sign me up, man. Sign me up.
Before I let you go, talk to me a little about the Jets. I have to say, I love it when I get to hear you call a Jets game. They're my favorite team. It's great. But damn, they make it so hard to be a fan of theirs. What do you think about this year's team? Give me your NFL, thing. And why should I think this year might be different for the Jets, even though I know it won't be?
Well, the optimism is tremendous out of you, man.
Isn't it weird? People always say to me all the time, they're like, wow, you're so different as a Jets fan as you are a Mets fan. Like, with Mets, you're so optimistic. As the Jets, you just think everything's going to burn down. I don't know what that's about, but it is.
Well, I think you know, the way last year went, you know, with Geno getting punched in the face and then losing the job to Fitzpatrick and then him coming in. And I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was really excellent until the last game of the year when unfortunately it mattered the most, you know, and that's a shame because he had, I thought he had his best professional year last year. And, you know, I don't know what in the world is going on there right now. I know they need a quarterback with some experience unless they're going to give it to hand the reins to Geno. And that's, so that would obviously scare me. The one thing I'll say is I do like a lot of their parts here. And I do think that Todd Bowles has some really good abilities as a head coach. I mean, I like him. I think he's got a good command the room type presence, even though he comes off as a quiet, laid back guy. I know that behind the scenes, he's not exactly that. I know he has a different side to him. And I think if you're looking at personnel wise, I think generally they have enough to compete, you know, and I love the Forte side. I mean, I really do. I know in Chicago the last couple of years, you know, the word there is, well, he lost a step and, you know, and that may be true. Like, I think any of us have lost a step when you get, you know, 10 years older. I mean, no matter what you're doing, I think that's just the reality. But I'll tell you this, that guy is a player, and he still is as good a pass receiver out of the backfield as anybody in the league. He still can run the ball for me. And I just think that even though, like, Ivory was great for them, I never considered him the bell cow. I think that Forte, even at his age, can be that. And I think that's a great help to him. Now they just need someone, you know, can, I don't know what they're doing again, the quarterback situation. And that would scare me. But I think they got a chance, Matt. I mean, look, the Patriots are the Patriots. But the rest of that division, to me, there's a lot of question marks with everybody else.
Yeah, please tell me, am I going to have to live through another Patriots season? Is it going to happen again? Every year I go into it thinking this is the one. This is the year. This is where it'll all break down, and then we get smacked in the face again.
Matt, I hate to inform, but I think it is indeed going to happen again.
Anyway.
I mean, the only thing I don't understand, you know, we were talking about age, kind of having fun with that. I don't understand how Tom Brady,
I don't know.
He gets older. He's just as good as he was 50. I don't understand it. He guy's amazing. It's crazy.
It is. And it is infuriating from this side of the TV. Let me tell you something. It is unbelievable. Oh, man. Anyway, listen, man, I appreciate your time. I'm really, really happy for you. I'm glad things are going well for you out in L.A. Someday I'm going to get out there. We'll get together and we'll hang out and spend some time together. I miss you. I'm glad everything's going well. And thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Feelings mutual. And say hello to everybody that I missed back in New York, man. I appreciate you having me on, Matt.
Again, that was Kevin Burkhart from Fox Sports. Thanks again for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A cast presented by Citi. Citi card members get exclusive Citi perks when they use their Citi card at Citi Field. Spend $50 or more at a Mets merchandise retail store at Citi Field and get a $10 Citi Perks gift card redeemable in the ballpark. Learn more about it at Mets.com/Citi. Thanks again for listening to the show. Love talking with Burkhart. Really miss the guy. It was a huge help to me when I was getting started. Had a lot of good conversations about the business and about really everything. I mean, he's just a really good dude. And I'm really, really happy for him. I'm sure you could tell that from me in the interview. So good for him. As for the Mets, like I said at the top of the show, important series. They've got to do well this next couple stretches here before the next couple series before the All-Star break is going to be huge. If they come out of that break somewhere around 10 games back, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. I don't even want to think about how things are going to go forward. So this is huge. And like I mentioned earlier, check out the Mostly Mets podcast. You can get a kind of a breakdown on where the Cubs are at. Also check out other stuff on our hockey podcast. We got a recap of the draft. That's good stuff. So yeah, all good things. Guys over Jeff and Jay on our audio side do a terrific job with the podcast. Love what they do. So definitely check all that stuff out. Again, we'll be back again next week with another Q&A cast. Thanks for listening. And as always, really important this time, let's go Mets. Come on, guys. Let's go.
This has been the Mets Blog Q&A cast presented by Citi. Part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.